That. Give me just a moment. I always have this set aside, but not today. And I think this passage is in the New Testament, but I'm not even sure anymore. So having a little trouble. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. You know, I'm kind of shaking. My fingers are shaking, my hands. And I'm so sorry for that. But I'm having trouble turning pages because my hand's wanting to shake. And I don't know, that stuff really kicked me. So bear with me. What's that? Stay off the drugs. Stay off the drugs, yeah. See, that's what drugs will do to you, right? I want to grab this Colossians chapter 1 passage. A lot of you take notes. If you see in there that this has been touched on not too long ago, I know that. And it's like, and I try not to be repetitive with messages, or at least, you know, a long time. But if God brings you back to one, you just go back to it. I mean, that's the way it is. And I there's some more, or missed something, or there's more than he wants. It's a prayer, Paul. It's in his letter. And let me just read this few passages. For this reason, this is the New American Standard. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please the Lord, please God, or please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And he says, strengthen with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And we're going to do just a little verse by verse on this one. A lot of the messages you hear are topical, and this one is an expository message. Topical meaning you have a subject, a topic, and you bring in other scriptures and so forth related to that topic. I do a lot of those for the practical application. An expository message means we're dissecting the verse itself, verse by verse, and so it's a teaching, preaching type message. But we have this here, and it's very important for us. We have to get this. It's the life that pleases God. I wanted to put the worthy walk and all this kind of stuff, but it's the life that pleases God. It's what we must have. This is not an optional type thing. None of Scripture is optional, but this is important. And so we're going to start off. He says, and since the day we heard it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's grab that part first. So we start this off with knowledge of God's will. But we've got to have it with all, you know, with spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we make two points out of that. First, let's talk about knowledge with God's will. And I don't often give, I'll try not to give too much data that you can research on your own. But just so you know, there was something behind the writing to the Colossian church in this particular, saying these particular things about this knowledge. Be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And what was happening, Paul was exposing a heresy. A heresy is a teaching that sounds biblical, but it's not. And so it's taking the word of God and changing it into a secular application, interpretation, okay? So there was a heresy, and it started taking hold in the Colossian church. And he was exposing it. And so you read the background and you find out, oh, okay. So that's why he's saying in the manner that he did, that he wants you filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Gnosticism, and this was a version of Gnosticism. You say, what's Gnosticism? It means knowledge. It means that if you gain enough knowledge, you will arrive. Boy, how far off base is that? Gaining knowledge here doesn't do you anything except somebody may out here calling the world call you a genius or really super smart person, but if it doesn't have application and change you inside and make you a better person, it's worthless. And Gnosticism, you know, in the Colossian church, this was a version, and they insisted that here's what they were saying. They were saying that, get this, and it does, and if you, when you hear this, you're probably going to say, well, that goes on today. Here's what they were saying. God reveals certain secret information about himself to a few chosen people, but not to everybody. Amen. You see there? And so that's what they were teaching. And there were these certain people in that church involved in this heresy. And they said, we know something you don't. You know, it was just about like that. And so God has given us secret knowledge of himself, and the rest of you believers can't have it. And that's, he was writing to say, God doesn't work that way. You can know more. You may understand more about God and have more revealed to you because you're open to God. Okay, everybody with me on that? But he doesn't. In other words, God doesn't walk around of this earth and say, okay, I'm going to make you smart with secret knowledge. Dumb, 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 dumb. Smart with secret knowledge. Rest of you are dumb Christians. Others of you are anointed Christians. Okay, and God, that's what the Colossians were saying. Not the Colossians, but those that were brought into this error, this heresy, this sect of Gnosticism, because they were saying, you know, you'll be endowed with a special understanding of God that these others don't have. Don't we have, and haven't we had over the centuries, churches, denominations who claim to have this secret understanding, and if you're not part of our church, you're going to hell? Anybody know any present, don't say anything, but any present people, denominations or churches that believe that? If you're not part, if you're not of our denomination, our church, have our understanding, you're going to burn. It's going on today. And so this was back then. And he wrote to stop this and to say that every Christian can have the full knowledge of God if you pray for spiritual wisdom and understanding. But he was saying knowledge in and of itself is extremely dangerous. Everybody with me? And so here's what he was trying to say. As a Christian believer, we're praying for you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And here's what we're trying to get at. And this is what God was impressing on me and bothering me, and the Lord was bothering me with this. It's like, Tony, you know, I've been wondering, how am I trying to say this? Do you ever wonder, no, we're not to judge, we can't judge, but do you ever get to wondering just how many people that say they're Christian are really saved? I mean, he said by their fruits you'll know them, so we can judge by fruits. You just see so little fruit from so few, right? And the Christian community in general, where's the fruit? So you begin to wonder and ask yourself, are they saved? And then God began to work on me and say, it's not so much that they're not all saved, or this is what came in my mind, in my heart. It's not so much that they're not all saved, Tony. They have a knowledge of me in their head, but that knowledge has never been transmitted to their heart. And there's so many people spouting scripture, talking about God, seem to know everything there is to know about Jesus. It's because they have it memorized in their head. They've read it, but they don't live it because it never has changed them inside. And that's why knowledge without practical application becomes a trap. It's a danger. And we have so many educated people out there today, educated in the Word of God, educated in all kinds of fields, but that has never gone from their head to practical application and common sense. So you have basically all these ignorant geniuses walking around. I'm talking about a contradiction, you know, but it's true, isn't it? You ever been around a really smart person had no common sense? What good are they? I mean, what good are they? And we all have. And we have a bunch of them out there now, don't we? A bunch. And he's saying, I don't want you as a Christian to be like that. I don't want you just to know about God. I want you to have really be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He doesn't want us running around saying, I know something about God that you don't know. But there's a lot of folks who do. And not too long ago, and I sure wouldn't want to hurt any feelings of anyone listening, but we need to speak the truth. The truth will set you free. I've been told myself, and this happened not that long ago. I mean, months, not years, that I was confronted with, Tony, I know you're doing it, try to do a good job, and all blah, 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 you know, but you realize that you're not of the right church. And there's only one church, you know, and yours isn't it. And it's like, you mean if I change the name and call it something else? Well, yeah. Holy moly. You know, that's what we used to say where I grew up. Holy moly, when we didn't want to cuss. And it's like, so if I change the name of the church to some other name, then we would be included in salvation? Yes. Then you say, and if you don't know it, that does exist out there right this minute. Yeah, that's and all I can say is that's saying we have secret information. We know something about God that the rest of you poor, dumb Christians don't have a clue about. And in spite of you worshiping God and saying that you believe in Jesus because you don't have the right name on your church sign, you're going to go to hell. Well, folks, I don't know what to tell you in that except that the scripture says that whosoever will may come. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Regardless of what the name of your so-called church is. Is everybody with me? And I'm going to try to be mean with this. You know, if anybody takes it as mean, I'm on medication. That's my excuse today. The truth is that Jesus gives all believers, listen to me, if you want it, Jesus gives every believer, all believers, the knowledge of God that we need. The reason some people seem to have more in understanding of God is because they want that understanding. They won't want it just be head knowledge. You ever been with someone who could just quote more scriptures than you ever dreamed of knowing in your life? But then you don't see it changing them? But they judge everybody with it? That's what the Pharisees did. They could quote the law, buddy. If you wanted to get in a debate with a Pharisee and on over the law, you're going to lose. Because they knew all of it. But it didn't know them. Here's what bothered me about this, and let me share this with you. And I was just, it was in my mind this morning. Jesus said in that day, the day of judgment day when he comes back, calls us all up, and there's going to be the great judgment day. Great white throne judgment and all that. He said, there's going to be those of you who are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name and prophesy in your name and worked all these miracles in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Does that ever scare you? Bothers me. And just this morning, I was in there in the kitchen, and I was making my wonderful tasting shake, which you should all try. But anyway, and I was putting all it together, and that came out, and I started speaking that out loud. I quoted that scripture. And it's like, whoa. This ties in. This is why you're putting that on my heart and mind. It ties in with this message, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Because, see, those are going to be people. Listen to this. Those are going to be the people who acknowledge me in their head, but they never receive me in their heart. And just having the knowledge of Jesus Christ, just having the knowledge of God, doesn't get you saved. It's when that knowledge becomes practical. It's when you receive him in your heart and he changes you. A life-changing God giving spirit change. Quoting Scripture is not the way to heaven. Living Scripture is. That's what the Pharisees couldn't do. They could quote it, but they couldn't live it. They didn't let it change them. There are a lot of Christians who can't quote a lot of Scriptures, but they live the book. That's who you want to be around. Those are the ones that's got it. And Paul was writing to say, don't fall into this Gnosticism, this branch of Gnosticism that's still here today, thinking that you have the secret knowledge. And he's saying knowledge without practical application is nothing. It's like faith without works is dead. Same thing. You have to see the knowledge that you get about God changing your life and impacting other people. These Gnostics also taught, get this, because this is important. They said the body is totally evil. The body, your body. They said, you know, your body is totally evil. And there's some belief in that in Christianity today. The truth is, what? And get this. We're teaching some stuff here. My carnal nature is evil. My fleshly nature. But my body is not that evil because God says my body becomes His temple. And He's not going to live in evil. You ever thought about it? My body, your body, is a temple, living God, temple of the Holy Spirit. But the Gnostics taught that the body is evil. You say, okay, so where does this affect us? Because if the body is evil, guess what the next step was? Jesus Christ wasn't really in a human body. He couldn't have been because the body's evil. And if He had a human body, He would have been evil. Which means that He never identified with any of us. He never went through the things we go through. It couldn't have been. It couldn't have been really God there because the body's evil. And that's what they were teaching these people, and they were falling for it. Friends, there are some denominations, cults, that teach close to the same thing right today. They'll come knocking on your door every once in a while. Careful. Be real careful. Careful what you listen to. Careful what you entertain. I'm going to say something to you and it'll sound really ugly. You ready? Don't try to be overly pleasant to evil people. Be Christian. You with me? When someone spreading a false doctrine comes to your door, don't try to be overly pleasant and invite them in because they're bringing an evil spirit right in your house. And you may have a little trouble. That person may leave, but that spirit may linger. Everybody with me? I'm not saying this does not negate love everybody, but don't love their evil. And there's some people you just can't entertain because there's so much evil. You think about it and pray about it. Anyway, they taught the body was evil. The truth is that Jesus Christ, God, Jesus, uses our body as His temple. The other teaching was, it contended that the church only seemed to be human, or that Christ only seemed to be human. See, this was the third step, which always is. But the truth is that He was not. It was an apparition. We couldn't be human because the body is evil. So you're doing away with Jesus being human and identifying with us and what? Dying on the cross for our sins, right? You see what the devil's ploy is in this, right? So be careful what you listen to. I know this can be a little mundane. It's like teaching a class more than preaching a message. But you need to know this stuff because it's still around today. The truth is in all this, Jesus Christ was fully God, but He was fully human. And friends, Jesus Christ suffered the same feelings we feel. He was tempted, it says, in the same way we are, yet He did not sin. He knows what it is to lose loved ones. He knows what it is to go through abandonment, betrayal. He knows what it's like to suffer human pain. I'm sure glad He does, because any of us, you know, all of us have gone through something painful. Some of you are facing painful things, you know, and you need to know that He knows what that feels like, so we can identify and He knows how to help you and heal you. I want you to know something. We do have a special anointing from God. Everybody has a special anointing. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you become His anointed, and He anoints you with His Holy Spirit. He anoints you with power and love and grace and wisdom. But friends, don't keep it in your head. Let it affect your life and change you. Is everybody with me? Okay, let's go to the second point of this teaching today. It says that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So let's talk about knowledge with spiritual wisdom and understanding, because knowledge without spiritual application is worthless. You know what it makes you? If you have a big bunch, and there's a bunch of them running around, you know, there's a lot of people all puffed up with Scripture, right? They can quote that stuff. They're puffed up. They're arrogant and they're proud and they judge everybody else. You don't know any like that, do you? You know, they just walk around and that's what we used to say, and they just beat everybody on the head with the Bible. Knowledge puffs up. Let me tell you something. Knowledge puffs up. Spiritual knowledge puffs you up. But spiritual application will bring you down to a humble level real quick. Because the more I learn about God and see it, how it's supposed to work in my life, and see how often I don't let it work, I see how sinful I am. Don't you? The Word of God convicts me all the time. All the time. I'll share an experience with you. I share my weaknesses, you know, because I want you to know I'm human. Boy, everybody knows anyway. Now, here's a simple thing. Of course, I'm a little edgy, but here's how far that went. I was fixing my shake. Everything was going great. I put my beet powder in there, my protein powder. I put my sunflower lecithin powder in there. I put my olive oil, you know, cold pressed, you know, all that. And then I put my avocado oil in there. This thing's going good. And I put my blueberries and my pineapple and all the good peaches and stuff. I mean, then I put Swiss chard and I put kale, and I squish all that down in there, and I put a little bit of... Did it sound great? Okay. And some whole yogurt, and I put that, and a little bit of honey. I mean, this is getting good. You know? And then the last thing I want to put, I have to mix all that up and drink some because I don't have enough room. I mean, it takes a lot to get all that down. But I wanted to put, now, my last thing that I like to put in there is banana. So I peeled this banana, right? And I reach up to break off the end to put in there, and my hands were shaking a little bit, and I dropped it. Plop, right in the floor. So I go to get the next piece, and the whole dadgum thing of the banana falls off and plop in the floor. So, being the controlled individual that I am, I looked at that. I have what's left of the banana, about that much in the peel, and I just reared back and slammed it down there and said, "There, now it's all down in the floor." That's the way to do it, right? You want to go down there? Then have company. Showed that banana. And then it dawned on me, well, what are you going to do? Step over all that? You got to clean it up. And then I got mad because I had to clean it up. Now I'm down there in the floor. I'm trying, well, I need to get to church, and I'm cleaning up all this banana. And don't slam banana on the floor. It doesn't stay intact. It squirts banana all over the place. So anyway, you see, why did I share that? I'm not quite sure. Except to say that through it all, God then says, "You'll never get too puffed up with knowledge, will you, Tony?" Because He convicted me of that and said, "All over a banana, look what you know, look at you." And then I felt bad about it, and I'm, "Forgive me, Lord," and I'm just having this spell. And all over a banana. Surely nobody has banana fits around here, do you? You wouldn't slam something like that, would you? Oh, there's certain looks going certain places, but, you know, yeah, have you ever just slammed something down and made a mess just because you just have it a moment? You know, and it's never your fault. You know, it's life did it. that stuff they gave me Friday caused it and all that. Yeah, that's it. It wasn't myself. But see, when you have knowledge and you don't have application, you'll justify and act like that instead of it humbling you and showing you how human that you really are and how much you need God every day. You'll justify it by really truly laying it off. That's why I'm kidding about some of this. You'll lay it off on the medication you had to take, or somebody else has caused you to be upset, or they didn't grow the bananas well, or something. We blame instead of accepting responsibility for our own actions. And the more you know about God, the more you'll be accountable and accept and acknowledge your own problems. So I'll have issues like that from time to time, and I haven't thrown a banana ever like that. I don't know, but all over one banana, I had a real mess this morning. And God was just showing me through it afterwards and convicting me on the drive up here. What was behind all that? You know better than that. And it's like, well, I don't know why I did it. And it's like, it doesn't matter. You did it. And are you going to blame? Are you going to admit it? Are you going to let me deal with it? Are you just going to be puffed up with knowledge and come up there and bring a message and act like you're not, it doesn't apply all to you? It applies to me. I'm human. I go through things. We all do. We all have our spells. And it just comes on. Sometimes it sneaks up on you. You ever hit a bump or somebody comes close to you and you swerve and before you know it, you've said an unchristian thing? One or two, maybe. Yeah. And it just happens. And you have to ask God, forgive me. Where'd that come from? It was lurking in there. A banana episode was been lurking in me for years. I just didn't know it. And it finally came out. So you want knowledge. Listen to me. You want to study the Word of God and learn it. But ask God as you learn His Word to make His Word sink in your heart so it changes your life to be more like Him. He wants us to be Christ-like. We're Christ to the world. And listen, when you have your little banana episode and you share that with people and you share how God used that in your life, do you know people identify with our weaknesses and how God uses us in our weaknesses more than our strengths? Because they realize they're human like me. They go through things like me. But God forgives and accepts them, then He can accept me. So allow God's Word to make you spiritually wise and give you understanding of how it works in your life. Don't just get it up here. God doesn't want Bible quoters. He wants Bible doers. Enough said? Let's move on. This is what, we're doing this verse, but there's an expository message. And then He says, I want you to do this so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Does that ever bug you? What is a manner worthy of the Lord? I've struggled with that myself. And I'm going to give you a few points here real quick before we close up. It's living your life. When God says, I want you to live your life in a manner or walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him. Number one, it's living my life guided by the Lord's Word instead of my opinion. If you want to walk worthy of the Lord, then you walk according to His Word, not what you think or what somebody else says, and not your opinion. Secondly, it's sharing your life guided by the Holy Spirit to share it. Share your banana stories. Share your mess ups. Why are you ducking and dodging something that's happened in your life, something that you did? Why are you hiding that? Why don't you let God use that to make you a minister to people who are suffering the same things? Now listen, you I've hit on this, and I back off because I don't want to stay on it, and I won't today, but If you had an abortion or you committed adultery or you stole or whatever, instead of running from that stuff, why don't you just come clean with God? And you say, well, I've done that, but I don't want people. That's your ministry. That's part of it. Why can't you say to somebody, I've been there. I had this time in my life when I don't know, I lost it. And this is how God brought me out of that. That's our testimony. That's our story. And everybody in this room has a story. I have a story. We all have a story. You know, I've been through my episodes. I mean, I left God. I say I left God, I left the ministry. I didn't want anything to do with it anymore. And you know that. And I just chunked it. Lived like I want to live there for a while. Finally, God in me, I had enough of that. But somebody will ask me, say, Tony, did you know, what about that? After you really think, I mean, really, God's using you now after all? Are you kidding? That's my ministry. You don't think I sit with people and say, yeah, I know what it's like to go off the deep end. I know what it's like to just lose it. And then they'll look at you. You know what it's like to be just so broken, you don't even know what you're doing? I've been there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You ever been that hurt with God that you just want to walk away from Him and not serve Him anymore? Are you kidding? I did. And did you discover that no matter how hurt you are at God and no matter what kind of spell that you have and how honorary you get about it and you're never going to, did you realize that He just keeps on saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, until you can't stand it anymore and you come back to Him? It's the truth. He loves you. He doesn't beat you back into His presence. He loves you back into His presence. I've never known a father like Him. It's unbelievable. I told Him, I'm never going to do this. No more. Don't ask me. He asked me. Man, surrender your life to Him. Third point here, and walking worthy. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Give it to Him. Give your past, present, and your future, whatever He wants. How about this one? Walking worthy of the Lord. How about starting to enjoy your life in Christ so much that your joy is imparted to other people? How many Christians have joy? Amen. Man, God, the joy of the Lord just is like a magnet to people. Won't you start enjoying your life in Christ? And then this one. Number five, if you want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, He wants you to be growing up in Him all the time. This point kind of hung me up. I don't want to keep you all day. I know we've been in a business meeting, but listen to me. Listen, this is important. Listen to what God's saying in this. Many Christians accept Christ in their heart, and they're baptized, do all that. They go through some classes or whatever, or they learn, and then they stay there. I'm saved. So they stay at a beginning level. In other words, as adolescents or teenagers in Christ all their lives. And they don't realize that God wants you to mature in Christ, grow in Christ, just like you're supposed to grow up into adulthood. So we're to grow up into spiritualhood. Everybody with me? You can't stay where you started. That's a child in Christ. Yes, you're saved, but you're not to be juvenile anymore. You learn to handle things. You've got to grow up in the Lord and learn that life is not always pleasant and things happen. And He needs mature believers who have grown up in the faith to learn how to handle crisis and to help people through their circumstances. You can't stay where you started. Spiritual knowledge, spiritual growth, spiritual understanding. And just as we have to grow up from being little kids and babies and somebody guiding us around, holding us by the hand, so we have to become people in Christ who can hold other people by the hand to lead them to grow in Christ. As we were once taught, we now become teachers. That's our calling, all of us, as ministers of Christ, is to be teachers of the gospel. Wherever we are. Interesting, huh? But that's how you walk in a manner worthy. You grow up in the Lord. You bear fruit, spiritual fruit. Look over in Galatians and you'll see what kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, patience. All of that. You let God, and that's what you mature into. And you give encouragement to people. And they see your commitment, dependability. Well, this has been a good teaching lesson, I hope, and I got to close. I pray it is, because this is verse by verse. Let's cut it out, and let's look at it and dissect it. And let us close with this, because he says one more thing here, more than we can get. He says, do all this and then strengthen with all power. I really like that one. According to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father. When you look that up in the Greek, and you can do that. You can do Greek. I had to go classes. Now you can just look it up. Makes me mad. Went to school for all that. Now all you got to do is punch a few buttons and you can see it. That word for, you know, might, strength with all might, or all power, comes from a Greek word, dynamis, from which we get our modern term, dynamite. And so what he was saying here, just very, he's saying, I want you dynamited with all power. I want you to be a stick of dynamite. I want you to really be explosive power in the Lord. You know, he says, strengthen with all power. I want you strengthened with all, and that word dynamos. I want you to have an explosive power. That's what he's saying. You look it up yourself. According to God's glorious might, God's glorious dynamite power. So God wants, what is he saying? God wants your life. Listen, God wants your life and my life exploding with his mighty strength, his mighty power. Exploding. Listen to me. You can choose to be a firecracker or dynamite. And most Christians just choose to be a little black cat firecracker, you know? Shh, boom. And that's it. Or you can be dynamite. So many people settle for so much less. You just go to the little Christian firecracker stand and say, I'll just be a firecracker and make a little spark. I'm a firecracker Christian. Or you can walk in a room and the Holy Spirit is exploding out of you. And God's power is coming out of you. When I was a kid, I wanted to see what would happen if you put one of those little firecrackers in somebody's back pocket. So I walked up to one of my cousins, stuck it in their back pocket, and lit it. He wasn't happy. You know, and it blew, and there was a powder burn back there. And he turned around. I shouldn't tell you these things because I did ugly things when I was a kid. And he turned around and said, "Who did that?" And I pointed at another one of my cousins, and he beat him up. That's the way it was. Another one of them was, we were digging a foxhole. We're playing army, right? And I don't know why. I just wondered what a BB would do in a guy's bottom. So I picked up my BB gun and shot him right through the back pocket. Now, why would you do that? He turned around, and my little cousin Michael was standing there. Michael, if he ever hears this, he'll be going, "You sorry dog, I still remember that." And he turned around mad, said a few ugly words, and I pointed at Michael. And he hit Michael. And I just stood there and let him do it. And somewhere along the line, God just had to confront me with, you know, when I became a Christian, you're going to be a little firecracker Christian and this is going to be your life, doing that kind of stuff? Or you're going to grow up in me and become dynamite? In other words, are you going to be a force to be reckoned with or just one to just get people's attention for a few minutes and it goes away? Or are you going to be a force to be reckoned with? Friends, what God's calling every Christian in this place and every Christian in this universe to be is a force to be reckoned with, that where he puts us, there is dynamite power. And buddy, you don't mess with God's people. And that's what's wrong. Too many people think they can just run over us as Christians because we're just too many little firecrackers out there. They used to have one called Little Ladyfinger. Y'all remember it? You could almost hold it in your hand. I don't want to be either one. When I go off, I want to go off. You know, if I can slam bananas in the floor, then I think I can have a little Christianity flowing out the same way. By the way, for those of you that have a temper, boy, everybody's just looking at me intently, okay? Did you know, for those of you that have a temper, You have those strong emotions and passions. Do you realize that that can become your greatest strength? More, that is dynamite power if you'll let God take what's behind all that and put it into spiritual energy. How about that? He will. You know, people, I'm always working and counseling with people, something they'll say, you know, he or she just got this temperance. Like, oh, you don't realize the potential for God that's in that. Because they have the passion. They've got the emotion. They can just get in there and slam bananas in the floor. Throw wrenches across the room. Kick vehicles. Whatever it is. But if you let God, if you say, God, take this and channel it for your glory. And keep this passion. Don't put the passion away. It's just let God channel it. Look what that would do in the kingdom of God. God wants passionate people, fiery people, people that can get in there and get it done, right? And we say, God, take all this away. Make me calm and all that. Oh, God, just redirect it. Make it a river of living water. I mean, put that fire where it's supposed to be. Friends, all of you with temper, there's one or two of you with temper, isn't it? Okay. All you got to begin to do is, God, take and channel that into spiritual energy and make me a driving force on the face of this earth. Take this, what seems is a big weakness, and all of a sudden it's the opportunity for the greatest power. You're not a firecracker, you're dynamite. You can go out and listen. Firecracker Christians just kind of irritate the devil. Dynamite Christians blow him to pieces. He can't stand up against you. So let me close. Your choice. Firecracker? Boom, dynamite. Dynamos, that's what he's talking about here. He says, then I want you to give thanks, and we close with that. No matter what, no matter how long it takes. No matter what you're going, if you're slamming bananas or throwing wrenches or whatever it is you do, until it gets all channeled, give glory to God. And sometimes, friends, we have to give glory to God not for what he's doing at the moment, for what he's going to do. And for one, every one of you that's so passionate and you think there's no hope for me, there's ever hope in the universe, because you have the passion, you have the feelings, you got it. Just let God funnel it in the right direction and give him glory. If we started thanking God in advance for what he's going to do, I just wonder what would happen. Thank him for what he's done and what he's doing now, but God, thank you for what I know in faith you're going to do. Look at what he can do. Just let God take you where you are. And channel all those things you consider so much weakness and all that, and let him change it and channel it and funnel it into spiritual force and energy, and become a dynamos, a dynamite power of the living God. How about it? Well, Father, we come to you and we know there's no God like you. There's no God like you. You said in your word, when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment of all? And you started that with, Jesus said, you know, you didn't just say love the Lord, but you said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. No other gods, no other idols, nothing. And knowing that, then we love you and you alone with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we love each other and our neighbors, ourselves. God, take and funnel everything in our lives to spiritual energy, spiritual force. Turn these weaknesses into strengths. And help us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Strengthen with all might, dynamite power. Take that knowledge and turn it into living, powerful energy. Spirit-filled energy. Thank you, God, for what you've done. For what you're doing, and thank you, God, for what you're going to do in our personal lives, the lives of this fellowship, and this world. Thank you, God, you're hearing our prayers, and you're going to answer them in ways we can't possibly ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.